the voice of the preacher must now be heard as never before. The apostates and the liberals have turned to destroy freedom and to promote the revolution that you're now hearing about and that you're seeing. Many preachers have withdrawn into a form of hiding to get away from the conflict which is raging over the Word of God and the righteousness of that blessed book. Psalms 94 and verse 16 says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" Robert Burns said, "Now's the day and now's the hour. See the front of battle, Lord. Liberties in every blow. Let us do or die." Jeremiah 5 and verse 26 and verse 27, God's word says, "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait. As he setteth snares, they set a trap. They catch men. Their houses are full of deceits. Therefore they become great and waxen rich." There are men in our country today that are waxing rich, that are hiding among the American people, which makes it difficult for you, the American, to find out who they are. Where did this start? Where did it begin? Did it begin in America? Did it begin in those who came to America? I must say no. This world conspiracy that America is involved in today began a long time ago in Babylon, which was the first great Gentile kingdom. In Daniel, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1, we find that Nebuchadnezzar was the king who was sitting upon the throne in Daniel's day. And Nebuchadnezzar had made a decree. He had asked his men to go out into the land of Dura and fashion there an image of gold. Now notice, it did not say an image of a man made in gold or a golden image of a man, but it says that he made an image of gold. In other words, his desire, his affections were upon gold. And so he set out there and got those men to fashion a column of gold. Now the scripture says that this column was 6 cubits by 60 cubits. It was in proportion 1 to 10. A man's statue is 1 to 6. This image was 1 to 10. It was a column, and some men say that this column must have had a large, huge disc at the top, or some emblem with a picture of Nebuchadnezzar on it. Whatever it was an image of gold. Whatever it stood for, it stood for riches. Nebuchadnezzar asked everyone of his in his kingdom to go out and bow the knee to that image of gold. There were 3 men in Babylon at that time named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men were put in position in Babylon because of the great man Daniel. Daniel was in the kingdom, and Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in his dream, he dreamed a dream that disturbed him so much, and when he awoke, he couldn't remember it. And so he asked for all of the astronomers, all the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, the magicians to come in and tell him what his dream was. They came in, and they said, "O king, live forever. We'll tell you what the dream says if you tell us what it is. We can't read your mind." And Nebuchadnezzar said, "I'll not believe you unless you can tell me what I dreamed." And so he decided to kill all of the wise men of the province of Babylon. Daniel happened to be one of those wise men in Babylon. And so his life was threatened. Someone told him about it. And Daniel went before the king and said, "Nebuchadnezzar, please, let me give you the interpretation of the dream." Nebuchadnezzar said, "All right, do it." Daniel went home that day and he prayed. And God said, here's what he dreamed. He dreamed that there was a huge image there. The head was gold. And it had shoulders on it. And it had a chest on it. And it had legs. And all of this image represented the kingdoms of the world. And so Daniel went back before Nebuchadnezzar and he told him, he said, "Nebuchadnezzar, these These things that you saw in your dream represent Gentile kingdoms, and your kingdom is the head of gold that you dreamed about. And so when he revealed this to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar set him above all men. And so therefore Daniel said, I want you to set three of my friends over the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these three men were over the affairs of the city of Babylon. They took care of the monetary system. They took care of the judicial courts. They took care of everything that went on in Babylon. So when it was time for every knee to bow down to this image of gold, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we will not. Now it says later on, it says that Nebuchadnezzar was disturbed because they wouldn't serve his gods, nor would they bow down to the image. Now the image was not their gods. They had many gods. But this image was a standard of living that Nebuchadnezzar set up in this world. He wanted all men and all nations and all tongues to bow down to the gold standard. Do you wonder why today that men are giving their lives for the gold standard? Do you wonder why men sell out their lives and young people go to colleges and reject the will of God for their lives and say, I want to go this way because it gives more money, I can get richer, and men are climbing for riches? Do you know why? The system was set up one day. Here in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar said men should bow their knee to this principle, to this element called gold. And the gold standard was set up. Down through the years, men have worshipped money and the gold standard. Now let me ask you this. Can you wash with gold? Can you eat gold? Why in the world would a little hunk of gold be behind your life? Why in the world would you sell out your total life to that little hunk of gold? I'll tell you why. This satanic, this blackmailing conspiracy that the devil set up that day in Babylon is still going on today. Your daddies were subject to it. You are subject to it. Your children will be subject to it unless you wake up. America, listen to this. In the time of Christ, since Babylon, there has existed this determined, behind the scenes, under the table, atheistic force, these worshipers of mammon, whose underlying purpose is this: world control through the control of money. And at the time of Christ, the Sanhedrin was set up, worshipers of money. Jesus said to them, you call yourselves Jews, but you do lie, and ye are of the synagogue of Satan. Now Christ's teachings as to morality left him free of the ridicule of this group of people. But when he began to speak about money, they began to threaten his life. As he turned over the money changers' tables and bodily ejected them from the temple with a whip, 3 days later he was crucified. Not a week, not a month, not a year. 3 days later, this ungodly group who worshipped mammon, which is an Aramaic word for riches, they got him out of their hair. Back during the days in Egypt, when the Great Pyramid had been built, there was a shiny substance on the outside of that Great Pyramid. And everywhere you were in the desert there, if the sun was shining just right, that Great Pyramid, which was not a tomb, but an altar to a god, if you could see that, it would look like a bright, shining light. The students of the Great Pyramid were called the Illumined Ones. They were called the Enlightened Ones. They were called the Students of Light. They studied everything that had to do about pyramidology. They gave themselves to this. Now, when they built this temple, the very top stone was rejected. It was put aside. And when Jesus faced this group of people and said, I am the stone the builders rejected, they got so mad that they took up stones to slay him because he was saying, I am God and you should worship me and not the God that that temple in Egypt was built to. The Illuminati That group, which were worshippers of money, tried to get rid of Jesus. And finally, they succeeded as far as they understood. And they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking that they would get him out of their hair because he cared nothing about money. And money could not rule him and could not tell him what to do. And when they brought a coin to him in the city of Capernaum, they said, "Here it is, Jesus. Now, who do we pay tribute to?" And he looked at it and he said, "Whose image is on there?" And they took that denarius and they looked at it and they said, "Caesar's image is on it. The inscription is to Caesar." And on the opposite side was his mother, Lydia. And when he took that up and looked at it, he said, "Whose picture is there?" They said, "Caesar." He said, "All right, then give the things that Caesar wants given to him, but give the things that God desires and demands of your life, give it to him." Now listen to me. It would take an avalanche to get you to let go of that dollar bill. You know why? Because that world conspiracy has convinced you that money is security and that money is what you need to worship. Jesus said to them, he said, "I'm the chief cornerstone." Was he talking about the temple? No, it had four corners. There ain't any chief cornerstone in the temple. Was he talking about the synagogue? No, there's no chief cornerstone in the synagogue, which came out of Babylon. Where is the chief cornerstone? It's the headstone, the chief cornerstone, which is that same stone the builders rejected on that temple. And they said, "No, you are not God." Jesus said, I am God. In the year 1776, May the 1st, in Ingolstadt, Germany, a Jew by the name of Adam Weishaupt. Now, Adam Weishaupt was a professor there in Ingolstadt, Germany. And he was a Jew. He was a professor of canon law. He was converted a Catholic and became a priest. He, in 1776, released a program for worldwide rule. He took the age-old protocols of the elders of Zion and revised them and set out the platform for any of their speakers or their hatchet men or their puppets so that they would have a platform to speak out and say, "We believe in a one-world rule. We believe in a one-world government. And we believe in a one-world church." That was their platform. Now listen to me. Now you know what May the 1st is. In Russia, there is no celebration for May the 1st, but it's a Bolshevik celebration. May the 1st. That's the reason you have the maypole and start dancing around the maypole on May Day, is because Adam Weishaupt instituted the platform for world rule May the 1st, 1776. The students of the World Revolution met and organized in the lodges of Freemasonry. Now, after Adam Weishaupt and Kolmar joined hands for worldwide control, they were warned time and time again. Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton were students of Adam Weishaupt. They introduced Illuminati into the lodges of the Scottish Rites in New England. In 1789, John Robison warned all Masonic leaders of the Illuminati. In 1789, David Pippin warned Harvard University students at their graduation of this world-rule platform that had been set up by Adam Weishaupt. Now, John Q. Adams warned Colonel Stone, the head of the Masons, about Jefferson's uses of the lodges. Jefferson was a member of the Illuminati, and he is the one who organized the Democratic Party. These men, Adam Weishaupt and Kolmar, who had joined hands for worldwide control, called themselves the Elders of Zion or the Zionist Conspiracy. They also called themselves the Illuminati. In the French Revolution was called the Jacobin Society. In 1789, the revolution took place. 5 years before the French Revolution took place, in 1784, a man by the name of Zwack printed the plan. Men heard about it. The Illuminati was uncovered. So in 1785, the Grand Lodges closed. In 1786, Illuminati went underground. They began to call themselves then, in the blue masonry, they called themselves internationalists. And when they would find a Mason who was internationalist in his thinking, they would get him in their midst and begin brainwashing that person, getting them ready to be their puppets. In Germany, the Illuminati were called the German Union. They kept changing their names so that it would be difficult for you to put your finger upon them and say, here is the conspiracy. In Europe, it was called the League of Just Men. Now, the outcome of Waterloo was falsified. The stock in Britain dropped to rock bottom. That's when Rothschild, the president of the Internationalist Banker, said Napoleon had won the battle. When he did, the stocks went rock bottom, and Rothschild paid a penny on the dollar for all the stock and completely controlled Britain and set up the new Bank of England. In America, it was the Federal Reserve System. Now, Karl Marx was a Jew, and in the year 1850, or just before that, he was employed by Adam Weishaupt to write the platform for public reading. And then, the Illuminati soon called themselves the League of Communism, and then later, Communist International. In the year 1872, communism moved to Philadelphia in America. The communist seat has never been in Russia. In 1909 and in 1910, a group of internationalist bankers headed by Jacob H. Schiff, Warburg, Lehman, J.P. Morgan, Drexel, Biddle, Rockefeller, and others, plus many senators, met secretly at Jekyll Island, Georgia, to create a Federal Reserve System for the United States of America. Also in that same year, the NAACP was organized. In the year 1917, just a few years after this, the Bolshevik Revolution was also planned in America. The Tsar would not yield over to the internationalist bankers. Rothschild was so beside himself because the Tsar of Russia would not bow the knee to him in the Congress of Vienna. That's when the Tsar of Russia torpedoed the plans of Rothschild. Rothschild was so murderously mad at this man that he sent Trotsky and 196 disciples in 1917 from the Lower East Side of New York to Moscow in a sealed train from Europe. They financed Lenin, who was a jail bum, and they liquidated the Tsars and 13 million white Christian Russians. This was later verified by the grandson of Jacob Schiff. He said that his father gave $20 billion to the revolution. This $20 billion was on the ship with these hatchet men and Trotsky. And Britain confiscated these ships, took the gold off, and the president, who was in office then by the name of Woodrow Wilson, phoned Britain and said, please let these men go. And so Britain let the gold go. They put it back on the boat. They finally harbored in the right place, got on a sealed train, and went through Europe and into Russia. And behind the Iron Curtains today, they financed Lenin and he and these hatchet men from the Lord. side of New York took over Russia, and communism was set up in that socialistic state. From 1909 until 1913, the Illuminati waited until Woodrow Wilson got into office as president. And then they found in this man a Judas. Then at 4 o'clock, December the 23rd, Wilson submitted the Federal Reserve Act called the Aldrich Act. It was passed by 2/3 majority. Most of the men, 2 days before Christmas, had gone home. And this being next to Christmas, a holiday, he found that he had those there, enough there, that would pass the act, the Federal Reserve Act, which put our money into the hands and the control of a few businessmen. Unconstitutional? Yes, it was unconstitutional. It was against those standards that we had set up when we came to this America, this free country. But these men, the internationalist bankers, when our forefathers came to this country, they suddenly followed us here and then set up the same system that is controlling the other governments. And Rothschild, who is the president, said, if I can get the money of a country under my control, I will control the country. When Woodrow Wilson sold us down the river and got the Federal Reserve System set up and got our money into the hands of the internationalist bankers so that they could print our monies, Henry Cabot Lodge of Massachusetts wrote a letter to Senator John W. Weeks as follows. New York City, December the 17th, 1913. My dear Senator Weeks, throughout my public life, I have supported all measures designed to take the government out of the banking business. This bill, talking about the Aldrich Bill, puts the government into the banking business as never before in our history. The powers vested in the Federal Reserve Board seems to me highly dangerous, and especially where there is political control of the board. I should be sorry to hold stock in a bank subject to such denominations. The bill as it stands seems to me to open the way to a vast inflation of currency. I had hoped to support this bill, but I cannot vote for it as it stands, because it seems to me to contain features and to rest upon principles in the highest degree menacing to our prosperity, to stability in business, and to the general welfare of our people of the United States. Very truly yours, Henry Cabot Lodge. The president of the internationalist bankers, Rothschild, said, if I can control the money of a country, I care not what government it has, I can control the government. International blackmail. Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 5 of our Constitution says, Congress shall have the power to coin money, to regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin. President Andrew Jackson said, if Congress has the right to issue paper money, it was given to them to be used by themselves and not to be delegated to individuals or corporations. The Supreme Court ruled in 1934. The number of this article is 293 U.S. 388. The Congress manifestly is not permitted to abdicate or transfer to others the essential legislative functions with which it is invested. Is it not startling that document number 346, U.S. Senate Committee Report on the Origin of World War I, states, we repeat and respectfully submit that in view of the foregoing facts, it is clearly established that Hungary did not cause and did not bring about World War I. The respect responsibility rests solely upon the shoulders of the internationalist financiers. It is they upon whose head the blood of millions of dying rest. The Illuminati, the document says, caused World War I. The Illuminati, or the internationalist bankers, financed the Russian Revolution. Now, is it not odd that during our 65-year history of the Federal Reserve System, that we have engaged in three wars against our natural allies? We've gained nothing from two victories and two stalemates. We've had two depressions and two inflations. Our national debt started at $2 billion and has now climbed to $286 billion. The Federal Reserve System has pyramided $54 billion during that same period. These internationalist bankers are our Council on Foreign Relations to our president, called hereafter the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations. The CFR is our hidden government which rules America. Behind the CFR is the BAC, the Business Advisory Council to the president. It has 160 members, and its files are in the Commerce Department, where there is no congressional investigation. The BAC works with the Commerce Department and the legislative branch of the government, and nobody can ask it any questions. Listen to me. The four points of the Communist Manifesto are the same as the United Nations Charter and the Humanist Manifesto, when they say, number one, place rulers and leading politicians of all nations under obligation by financing suggested plans and campaigns. Number two, control the press and other communications media by A, outright purchase. B, control of its essential supplies, such as newsprint, paper, radio, the TV, the artist, the technicians, the employers who are working. Or C, the granting or withholding of advertising patronage through business organizations for supplies and raw materials. Three, dominate and obtain the favor of schools, churches, professional men, unions, welfare organizations, do-gooder groups, etc., by means of donations and posing as great philanthropists. Four, secure through flattery, promises of power, outright purchase of writers to spread the idea that money cannot be understood but by only a few trained on the subject. You see, if these internationalist bankers, the CFR, the BAC, can control you with the system of money, they'll control your government. Now, they need people to propagate their gospel. They need people to get in strategic position so that they can issue the statements and the platform for one world rule, and you'll believe it. For instance, Rockefeller picked up a young so-called Christian minister by the name of Dr. Harry F. Ward. At this time, he was teaching religion at the Union Theological Seminary. Rockefeller founded Judas in this reverend, and in 1907, he financed him to set up the Methodist Foundation of Social Service. And Ward's job was to teach bright young men to become so-called ministers of Christ. The Christian minister by the name of Dr. Harry F. Ward. This time, he was teaching religion at the Union Theological Seminary. Rockefeller 7, he financed him to set up the Methodist Foundation. To be a direct attack, but crafty insinuations to the youth
in the Sunday schools. Lenin said, give me one generation, and I'll transform the whole world. Then in 1908, the Methodist Foundation of Social Service, which was America's first communist front organization, changed its name to the Federal Council of Churches. By 1950, the Federal Council of Churches was becoming very suspect, so it changed its name to the National Council of Churches. If your church is involved in the National Council of Churches, tell your pastor, tell your leaders, tell them of this ungodly, satanic, blackmailing conspiracy that your church is involved in. If your pastor will not take a stand, if your Sunday school teachers will not take a stand, them. God has demanded that his people come out from among them and be his separate, saith the Lord. He wants you to leave and to get in that which is proper and good and right in the sight of God. Join a church that is a Bible-believing church. There is a church who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a church that believes that this blessed old book is God's word and that everything contained in it is from God. They'll try to teach you in your schools and seminaries that this old book is not the Word of God, that it contains the Word of God. That's their first subtle step. Then you'll be hunting in there to try to find out where the words of God are. You'll cut out one page and tear out another. You'll mark out one, try to leave one in, but then later become convinced that's not the Word of God. Pretty soon you'll throw the whole book away if you believe that first lie that the devil brings to your ears. Yes, believe the blessed book. Live according to his rules and his statutes. And if your church is a member of the National Council of Churches, get out. Get out. Serve the true and the living God. I want you to take out a dollar bill. I want you to reach into your purse, dear lady, and take out a dollar bill. Sir, take out your billfold and get a dollar bill out. Get it out and look at it for just a minute. I want you to look at that dollar bill. Turn it over to the side, the opposite of the picture of the president. Turn it over. You'll see two seals upon that side of that dollar bill. The half of the seal that's to the left, I want you to look at it. It is the symbol of the Illuminati. Do you see the Great Pyramid there? Do you see it with the eye at the top of that Great Pyramid? Do you see that? That is supposed to be God. That eye up there represents the God of the Illuminati. Now I want you to look up above that eye. You'll see these letters, A-N-N-U-I-T. Then you'll see C-O-E-P-T-I-S. That says, he has favored our undertaking. Listen, any time a man wants to go into sin, he'll try to rationalize, and he'll say that, well, this is of God. And this is what this group has done. This is the symbol of the Illuminati. Look at the base of the pyramid. See those letters there? M-V-C-C-L-X-X-V-I. That's 1776. That's the year that Adam Weishaupt instituted his platform for world rule when he revised the age-old protocols of Zion. 1776. I ask you, why is that year at the bottom of the pyramid and not across the page underneath the eagle? It has to do with world rule. For instance, under the pyramid, where it has the scroll unrolled, spread out at the base of the pyramid, it says, New World Order. Is that that what America was established for? So that the whole world would have a new order? No. No. The men came to America for freedom, to get out from under the world order that was then in existence. And so the Illuminati has pressed upon your dollar bill, and Congress approved this on June the 20th, 1782. The Illuminati is in control of your money. President Andrew Jackson, to the bankers in 1811, said, "You are a den of vipers and thieves. I intend to rout you out. And by the eternal God, I will rout you out." Nobody listened to him. Nobody listened to President Andrew Jackson. And pretty soon, he was off of the scene. There was a man by the name of Lincoln in his day. He is one of the few presidents who knew about our money system. And Abraham Lincoln printed up some United States currency, and when he did, the hate of the Rothschilds was upon him, and it wasn't long that a man who was involved in a local conspiracy took his gun out and shot Abraham Lincoln. Now, it was not brought out, the whys and the wheres of the assassination of President Lincoln, just like it has not been brought out into the open why President Kennedy was assassinated. But it will be known one of these days. Men shall find out. Men shall open their eyes to the truth, to these hatchet men who destroyed the Tsar of Russia, who were involved in killing your president, and who are involved this very moment of taking over this country. From what I have read, from what I see, I do not understand how America can go two more years without our president having to step down and a ruler step in his place and America bow the knee to this ungodly, satanic man. Remember, in Luke the 16th chapter in verse 13, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. He cannot serve God and mammon." Did you hear that? You cannot serve God and bow the knee to that monetary system. Now, I want you to listen with me as I read to you in the last chapters of your Bible, in the book of Revelation, what's going to happen to this world conspiracy, what's going to happen to this system. In Revelation, the 16th chapter, verse 15, Jesus said, "Behold, I come as a thief." The Lord is going to come back one of these days. That image that Daniel saw there in Nebuchadnezzar's day was the many Gentile kingdoms that are set up. That head of gold was the kingdom of Babylon. Then Darius led the Medes and the Persians in and took over. The Medo-Persia government was set up. They still bowed their knee to the same image that Babylon bowed its knee to. And then the Greeks took over. And the Grecian kingdom was set up. It wasn't long after that that Rome was set up. The Roman government, that happened to be the legs of the image that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about. And then after a while, the feet were formed. And the feet was a very unstable substance, iron and clay. And then the toes were there. And these nations, these 10 nations that are involved in the feet there, divided 5 and 5, were the last Gentile kingdoms. But then Daniel said, "There's a stone cut out from up above." This is another government. This is not a government of the same substance that this image is of. It's a government from above, and it comes down from that mountain, and it crushes the toes of that great Gentile kingdom, that image And when it does, the image falls, becomes a grove mountain, and the kingdom of God is set up. Now listen, this huge stone cut out of the mountain that came down is the government that Jesus Christ is involved in. It's not this monetary system of gold, but it's the monetary system of God. It's God ruling rather than gold ruling. And here in the 16th chapter, Jesus said, I come. And then in verse 19 of the 16th chapter, it says, and the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God. Now look at chapter 17. And it says, and there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, and I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot, which setteth upon many waters. What's he talking about? There's a harlot setting upon many waters. You'll have to look at verse 15 to find out what it's talking about. It says, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples and tongues and nations. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. That harlot is sitting upon all the nations of the earth, sitting upon peoples and tongues. And verse 4 it says, and the woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet colored, and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. I'm afraid that's still talking about something that's going to happen. If you are a follower of Jesus, this same system will probably kill you. And it says, when I saw her, I wondered with great wonder. And then it says in chapter 18, verse 1, and after these things I saw another angel came down from heaven having great power, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Nations have drunk of the wine and of the wrath of her fornication. All the nations shall become drunk with her system, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth, listen to this, some folks believe that Babylon is Rome, but I have to disagree. I believe Babylon is Babylon here in the book of Revelation. It's that same system that Nebuchadnezzar set up of worshiping the standard of gold. The merchants of the earth are grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice come down saying, come out of her, my people, and ye that do partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Listen, the merchants of the earth are going to wail and going to lament because this great system has fallen. You take a look in the year 1929, when this country suffered that great fall in its income and its monetary system, and the depression came. What did men do? They wailed. They jumped out of buildings and slew their lives. The merchants of the earth cried because their God had failed her. But listen to me. America was not founded upon this system. In the year 1620, the Mayflower Compact says, in the name of God, amen, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God covenant and combine ourselves together. And in 1643, the Constitution of the New England Confederation says, whereas we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace. America, stand up for what your forefathers have died for.